Gospel according to Luke, chapter 1. I would like to read from the verse number 39 to the verse number 45 for the beginning of this presentation. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias, and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Almighty God, our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, great is thy love and thy faithfulness. Thy ways are mysterious ways, but thy revelations are so bright. And yet, O Lord, we often look into thy brightness and don't see much. And sometimes the simple things just seem not to be visible to us. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we pray today that thou deliver us from the blindness that is fallen upon all nations, from the darkness, ignorance of thy word and will, and disinterest, lack of desire to seek and receive that glorious and marvelous salvation thou hast sent to the mankind in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. We pray, O Heavenly Father, for deeper insight, clearer perception, more sound understanding, presentation and application of thy word. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, as we are here reminded of Mary's submission to thy will, and then afterward her joy, and the way she magnified thy glorious name, O Lord, for placing upon her weak shoulders a great burden. Heavenly Father, we pray for the same blessing and the same gift and privilege, Lord, that we may receive the burden of our cross as a blessing and a privilege from Thee. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, only Thou hast the grace and the power to reveal to us Thy will and to give us grace and understanding, and grace and obedience, and grace and faithfulness, O Lord. All is thy goodness and thy grace, and we need that grace of thine every moment of our pilgrimage. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, we pray that thou make us faithful, obedient to thy will, that thou deliver us from our fears and anxieties, that thou, O Lord, save us from our vanity and pride, and cleanse us from lust of the flesh, lust of eyes, and all the filth that is in the world that cleaves to us so easily. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, we pray for thy purification, sanctification, thy enlightenment. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we pray that thou, along with these gifts and blessings, bless us with meekness and a humble heart. That thou grant us patience, endurance, loving kindness. That thou make us loving, forgiving, and helpful. That thou teach us to worship thee in everything. Gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, as we see the meaning of two believing women, as Mary met Elizabeth, the joy expressed in a wonderful praise to thy holy name, Lord, and that magnification of thy goodness and grace, though they cannot be measured. Gracious Lord, we pray that thou also bless us and all thy children in these last days with that gift and blessing of being comfort to one another, encouragement to one another, to be helpful and to share among ourselves the abundance of thy goodness and grace in charity and loving kindness, O Lord. That thou make us a living example of thy abundant grace upon those that trust and obey the Savior as our Lord and Master. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we pray that thou bless thy word, multiply the gospel messages, exalt the name of Christ, O Father, gather thy inheritance, the souls that thou hast redeemed in the sacrifice offering of Christ Jesus, the Lamb of God. We pray, O Heavenly Father, that in thy might thou destroy the forces of evil and darkness and defeat the enemy. Gracious Lord, Almighty God, in everything, may thy will be done. Glorify thy holy name and fill us with thy loving lordship to do thy will from the heart with deep gratitude and great high reverence, for thou art the Almighty God, holy and exalted, and worthy to receive worship and praise, power and government eternally. Amen. Just as a short and brief reminder of the preceding passage in this Gospel according to Luke in chapter 1, verse 38 is the statement or acknowledgement of Mary's just surrendering into the care of the Lord. Mary had a man that was engaged with her. She was already promised to this man to become his wife, and he also to become her husband. And I don't know how old or how young Joseph was. The impression is that Mary was a very young girl, and all of a sudden, apparently, there is nothing, no introduction, nothing in the scripture that would tell us that somehow Mary could have expected something else to happen. On the other hand, they lived under the occupation of Roman Empire, and it was a cruel bondage. I think that bondage was almost as bad as way back in the land of Egypt. Only in this case it seemed not to be constantly oppression in the same level, of the same degree, so to say, that they were taxed heavily and robbed on top of the taxes by the publicans or tax collectors, and they were poor people. Their priests were very corrupted, wicked men. The Pharisees were spiritually lifeless. Still, these people is going to the temple, offering sacrifices, and I don't know how many, but some do pray for the coming of the Messiah, the Savior, hoping that the Almighty God is going to restore the kingdom of their father David, or the first faithful king. I think we can call him faithful because for his bad things and his sins he repented, and he followed the Lord, never turned to the left or to the right as the other kings did, into idolatry. So David remained in the memory of this oppressed people of Judah as the father of prosperity, progress. Kingdom was elevated to that height that it became famous and glorious among the other kingdoms. Wherever David went, whenever there was a threat, a danger, an attack from the enemies, and David went with his soldiers, the Lord just destroyed their enemies. And some of the Psalms are giving a testimony, providing a testimony for that fact. And both Mary and Joseph were descendants of David, but they were poor, poor people. And they probably could not foretell what is the next threat, what is the next change under Roman rule, and whether they would be able to get married and have a peaceful life, even though they are poor, but at least live a peaceful life. But that was their hope, and I would think that most of the young people, and especially believing young people that plan to get married, hope for a peaceful life, not for turbulences or for more oppression and disasters and diverse difficulties and sufferings and so on. And then, as Mary, a young girl, is expecting and looking forward to that future, expecting that to be her expectations to be fulfilled, her hopes to come through, suddenly she got a visitor. An angel came, and the salutation was just not easy to grasp. What does that mean? Mary wondered. And then the angel explained to her why he was sent by the Almighty God to tell her this news, that she has been chosen by God to bring into the world God's own Son. Something not easy, rather very difficult to understand. is the Eternal One going to be born of a woman here into this world? And after questioning and receiving an answer from the angel, Mary accepted that. She didn't doubt, she did not argue as the priest Zacharias. And the end of her conversation with the angel was, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. Now, how soon after that Mary realized that she has conceived in her womb, that the words of the angel are already being fulfilled. But I would think that at that moment, when she was aware of that, she might have got up and journeyed to another part of Judea and another part of the land of Israel. From Nazareth in Galilee, she traveled to a hill country in Judea, into a city of Judah. That's what we see in the verse number 39. It's quite a trip. Did she travel alone? Did she tell anything to Joseph? Apparently not. How could she explain something like that? I think that Mary, in those days, needed some encouragement. And she turned to someone of whom she had a testimony from the angel. The angel told Mary, in the verse 36, "Behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren, for with God nothing shall be impossible." And having that example ahead of her, Mary answered to the angel, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word." And immediately the angel departed from her. Maybe my understanding is somewhat childlike, but to me this gives an impression that that angel did not have any enjoyment staying in this world. As soon as he finished his mission, he's gone. But that's also an admonishment to the Christians not to waste our time, the time of our preciously short time of our pilgrimage, with the worldly things, but to haste to accomplish the ministry that the Lord has given us and be prepared for the calling home from the Lord may come any moment. We don't know how soon, we don't know when. Only as we are growing older, the signs, the signals, so to say, that remind us we are not going to stay here for a long time are multiplied. But in any case, Mary is a young woman, and she knows now that a miracle of God is being performed in the body of her cousin, in some translations her aunt, in any case a relative that is much older, a faithful, godly woman. And Mary is going to visit her. And Mary traveled from Nazareth to a city of Judah or town of Judah in the hill country. And it came to pass when Elizabeth heard, first verse number 40, Mary entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. Now this is a condemnation of all those that are killing unborn children, saying that they are not people. They're just embryos, or they're just whatever, that thing. No? The unborn children are human beings, and for that bloodshed, destroying the lives of unborn children, God is going to judge that bloody, ugly sin. And all those who are leading ignorant people and godless people into that bloodshed, into that multiplied murder. But in any case, this is what happened. The babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth knew exactly that that leap was an expression of joy. That conceived child was just over 6 months old. So that would mean 3 months or a little bit longer, that child should be born. But something wonderful happened at that moment. As Mary saluted Elizabeth, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." I would like to point out to some parts of this praise of Elizabeth. When the two believers, two women, met one another, Mary's husband-to-be, Joseph, is probably still ignorant of this change in Mary's life and his. Elizabeth's husband is still deaf because he didn't believe the angel and did not submit to the will of Jehovah. So these two women really needed one another to comfort one another, to encourage one another. And when they met one another, there was a cheer, a joy, a delight, an excitement. How much of that we have? How much we rejoice when we meet another believer, another disciple of the Lord Jesus, someone who is bearing the same cross, believing in the same Word of God, and journeying through the same wild, dark world that we live in here on this earth. Perhaps if we experience more of that, what Mary experienced, "Behold the servant of the Lord. May it be to me according to his word." One of the prophets, when he heard the question among the heavenly host, I think it was the Lord's question, "Whom shall we send? Who is going to go for us?" And the prophet said, "Here am I. Send me." So did Mary. don't know if Elizabeth had some difficult time accepting the change or some doubts and questions as her husband did, but here in this meeting between Elizabeth and Mary, we don't see any of that. We can see faith and gratitude, something wonderful. It's not an easy task for a virgin living among the Jews and Levites, priests, among the hypocritical Pharisees and godless priests, who are only looking for an opportunity to accuse somebody, because that's their only way to advertise broadcast their godliness, because they're godless people. Mary could have been stoned to death. Or if the people of her city of Nazareth were too fearful, because the Roman emperor would not allow anyone to perform or execute capital punishment, only the judges appointed by the emperor, only Roman governors could condemn someone to die. And if the residents of Nazareth would not stone Mary to death because she was pregnant and not married, she could still be despised and rejected and oppressed and bruised with their manners in a very difficult, awful way. Especially if Joseph, her promised husband, her fiancé, her engaged man, would not believe the word of God, if he would accuse Mary of being unfaithful, breaking her promise, being pregnant with a child that is not Joseph's child. We also read that Elizabeth was hiding her pregnancy for, I think, 6 months. For a long time, she did not allow the others to notice that, to see it. But then, when she could not hide it anymore, she received the strength from the Lord to rejoice in that and to glorify the name of God. So, here we read that Elizabeth, after she felt that joyful leap of her baby in her womb, she spake out. I think she shouted. Here we read with a loud voice, and she said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb." What is the fruit of Mary's womb? She just received the news from the angel. And if that pregnancy started already, it would not be noticed at this time. It's too early. But Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she prophesied. This is, I believe, a prophecy and a praise to the Lord, a joyful praise to the Lord, from the hearts of women that had a very difficult life ahead of them. An enormous task in such a time as that, under Roman occupation, when immorality was on every side, lawlessness, and among the children of Israel, among the people of Judah. Many were forsaking the laws and the traditions of their fathers and living in a godless way, like Romans and Greek people and other Gentiles. This empire, Roman Empire, had many nations within the boundaries of the empire, within the borders of that big state, big kingdom. And they were mixing and influencing one another. And from time to time, the Roman governors and Roman emperors were very actively involved in destroying Jewish customs and traditions, and they're trying to destroy. Elizabeth is not prophesying about her son that she's going to give birth to in a few months. Her prophecy is focusing on Mary. Blessed art thou among women. Oh no, Elizabeth was blessed among women. Among all the women of that generation, she was the only one that experienced this kind of miracle. Not only among that generation, probably last a few hundred years. No prophecy. Not known prophets of the Lord among the children of Israel. Godlessness on every side. Darkness. And now, it's not a prophet that came to talk to Zacharias, but an angel, a herald from heaven, messenger of God himself. And now, Elizabeth is rejoicing. She's exceedingly excited to see Mary. And Elizabeth considered this to be an honor, a privilege, a blessing, an exceeding joy. Whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? I wonder. I would like to know. I hope someday I might know. When Elizabeth said this, did she see in her revelation or her prophecy, did she see the Lord Jesus as the Savior of the mankind, or only as the King of Israel? So she called him Lord. They did call David, King David was by many people called Lord, our Lord David. I would like to think that Elizabeth meant Lord and Savior, Redeemer, Messiah, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But Elizabeth said, blessed art thou among women. Mary has a very difficult assignment, but also a holy heavenly calling to be the mother of the Lord. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. The first blessedness proceeds from the second. For he who is the blessed one is eternal, everlasting. But now Mary is in his service, and she is blessed among women, which would be above many women. It It's a high calling. It's an important part of God's salvation program. And Elizabeth said, "Whence is this to me? How can it be? Why should I be the one to receive such a visitor?" There is, as I mentioned already, joy and excitement, but there is also reverence. Reverence for the little one that just has been conceived. Because that little one is the greatest of all. Now I would like to think what grace we need and how much faith and understanding to get so joyful as Elizabeth did when we see some work of the Holy Spirit, some work of God, our Heavenly Father, in its conception. It's not visible outwardly. It's experienced by Mary, but it has been revealed to Elizabeth, and Elizabeth believed it. She's not doubting. She's not questioning. She's testifying to the truth of that. And then she said, as soon as that voice of salutation sounded in her ears, in Elizabeth's ears, the babe leaped in her womb for joy. And I would like to look at this verse in a more general term. It's something very special. But I think it should be like that with every Christian woman that is pregnant. Reading the Word of God, listening to the gospel presentations, sharing the scripture, singing to the Lord, praying to bring the joy to an unborn child. So that even before the children are born, they are already being raised in the nurture and admonishment, encouragement of Christ the Savior. But in this case, it's so special, so unusual. The earthly journey of the Son of God here in this world started. And no one can see it but Elizabeth, because to her the Lord has revealed. Now I wonder about Zacharias the priest. He was a righteous man. He was a godly man, but being a priest and being who he was, Zacharias, he just could not accept the news that he heard from the angel. And now he is deaf. He cannot join in this praise. But I wonder, was he able to hear? Or could it be that Zacharias did not even hear? He could only see the faces of these two woman, his wife, aging lady, and this young girl from Nazareth, Mary, beaming with joy and excitement, with love and gratitude, reverence for the Lord, and encouragement for one another. I think that this meeting of two lonely, in a way, lonely woman was more glorious than many meetings where the multitude, hundreds, thousands of professing Christians meet, only to twist the word of God and to make very high-level speeches, sermons that are based on human wisdom and not on the gospel truth. This was a small congregation that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ said later to his disciples, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in their midst." In this case, he was there physically in their midst. Blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Of course, the Lord's promises never failed. But if that be the case, why am I so often worried? And not only that, many times displeased with the outcome. Why am I so often unwilling to see the glory of the Lord in the things that seem to be unpleasant, difficult for me to accept? I think that, like Moses, I should pray and ask the Lord to reveal me His glory, or maybe something else, or maybe something entirely different. Perhaps I need to pray that the Lord would give me grace to keep His word that is already has been already revealed to me, already familiar, known to me, that I might see more of His glory. But now, after these wonderful salutations from Elizabeth to Mary, this praise, exaltation of the work of God, Mary is returning, replying to Elizabeth's greetings. And we have here a psalm, a praise, a beautiful sermon, a hope and encouragement, a look of faith and confidence in God into the future. How much we need today of that. To look into the future and say, the Lord is coming. And His promises will not fail. He will fulfill everything that He said. We are safe in the arms of Jesus if we trust and obey Him. As He said, "If you love me, keep my word, keep my commandments. This is my family, those that hear the word of God and keep it." Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." When? When she said, "My spirit, my soul doth magnify the Lord," that seemed to be present time or an unfinished time. It's just going on. So she's feeling that, and these words sound like that. But when she said, "My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Father," it is past time. It does not mean that that rejoicing already is past, but it started in the past. not this moment, but some time ago. She continued, "For he hath, the Lord, God, my Savior, hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden." What is Mary referring to? I think she is referring to the visit of Gabriel, to the news, to the strengthening and confirmation of her faith and confidence in the Lord that she received from the angel. And then she says, "For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed." All generations? We remember, I'm confident we do, when the Lord Jesus Christ was proclaiming woe, woe, woe. Scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. But he said, "Verily I say unto you, all this blood that has been shed from the blood of righteous Abel until the blood of the priest that they murdered, stoned to death between the temple and the altar, is going to be required, asked from this generation, the generation of hypocrites, dishonest men, godless men, rebels against God, pretending godliness. That generation is not going to call Mary blessed. There are two generations. When Mary is praising the Lord and saying, 'For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed,' she's talking about all the generations of the blessed people. Godly people were rejoicing that. And we know that godless people were looking for an opportunity to kill the Savior, to destroy that Jesus of Nazareth. They envied his reputation among the people. They envied his miracles. And yet they hated the way of salvation. On that way, on that pathway, God is performing these miracles. So they would like the blessings, but they hate the giver of the blessings. They would like their own commandments, not the commandments of God. These are not going to call Mary blessed. And then there are the other ones. As the Lord Jesus said to the hypocrites, "You are building tombs and decorating the monuments to the prophets that your fathers have killed, murdered." And so nowadays, we can see that there are people that exalt Mary. Not only they call her blessed, but source of blessing. She's just on the same level with the Redeemer, the Son of God, the Queen of Heaven. Same group, same organization, same line of religion that was persecuting and murdering so many Christians. So each generation continued until the coming of the Lord, each one in their own way. And yes, I believe that Mary is blessed among women. Among all the women, she's the only one that brought into this world the Savior. Not because she was something more than just a woman, but I believe that she was righteous, godly person. And everyone, every woman that is believing in the Lord and serving Him faithfully is blessed with Mary. And every mother that is bringing into this world children that the mother is committed to raise in the nurture of the gospel, in the fear of God, in the teaching, in the light of God's word, is blessed. It's not easy. It's a high calling. It's a difficult assignment. It takes commitment to prayer and godliness. But it's an honor to the Lord. Mary said, "Why shall all the generations of the righteous, godly people call her blessed? Because he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name." It's an interesting language. "For he that is mighty hath done to me great things." And then an addition, "and holy is his name." There were some that were mighty in this world, but not holy. There were some mighty men that were godless. But now here is the one that is mightier than any other, the Almighty, the Holy One of Israel. It's a praise. It's a song. It's a gratitude to the Lord for His goodness and mercy. And that's the next word that she said, "His mercy is on them that fear Him from generation to generation." Now in her own words, she explained, who are the generations that will call her blessed? Who are the generations that she feels part of? Godly people. And looking that way, I would think that there are only two kinds of people in the world. Ever since the people started living on this earth, only two kinds: dead and saved. Not only Jews and Gentiles, not only white or black or any other color, but rather only two colors: saved and lost. Walking in the light of the Lord, in the light of His word, doing His will from the heart. And those that are still in darkness. And we hope and pray that some of those that are in darkness will receive that light and be transferred from darkness to light, from death to life. But it seems obvious to us that many will persist and continue in their darkness and die in their sins, far from the Savior, condemned forever. The next word that we read about Mary's praise to the Lord: "He has shewed strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree." What is she talking about? How did God reveal or demonstrate, manifest the strength with His arm? How did He scatter the proud in the imagination of their hearts? How did He put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them a low degree? woman is just as poor as she was before. And so are Elizabeth and Zacharias. So is Joseph. Is man looking way back in the past testimonies, repeating some of the expressions or phrases or excitement of Hannah, the mother of Samuel? Or is Mary looking forward into the future and seeing that that invisible Son of God that has not been born in this world yet is going to perform some great, actually glorious and majestic deeds? In any case, I think that this is clear from these words, that Mary is aware of the mighty hand of God, how mighty and how strong God is. And then that every sinner in his pride is going to perish. And even the mightiest ones that are on the thrones are going to fall down. But those that are of low degree, but trusting in the Lord, will be exalted. Is not this part of our Lord's teaching? He said, everyone that is self-exalted will be humbled, and everyone that is meek and humble will be exalted. And then Mary said, He, God, hath filled the hungry with good things. When did that happen? Well, there was a case. I think Elisha had that testimony that from a small amount of bread he fed a large crowd of people, the sons of the prophets. Elijah the prophet was fed together with the widow and her son in Sarepta of Zidonians. There were quite a few testimonies in the times of old, but none of them was so unusual everyone was unusual, but none of these miracles was so great, I think, as the miracle that we read about the Lord feeding thousands with a small amount of bread and fish meat. And I wonder again, is Mary prophesying here? Could it be that at this time the Lord has revealed to her some of the future, that Savior, that physically has been conceived in her womb, is going to do in the time to come? Because I think that when the Lord fed so many people, if there were any enemies, scribes, Pharisees, Sadducees, that they had to leave that place empty. Everyone that rejects the word of God remains empty. But then she said, He has hoped or helped, upheld His servant Israel in memory, in remembrance of His mercy, as He spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. The Lord has helped His people. He lifted them up in remembrance of His mercy. Why is that? Well, it was not in remembrance of their deserving it. It was not in remembrance of their godliness at this time in the children of Israel, the people of Judah? There was a lot of godlessness. And the faithful and the godly were only a few. But those that were faithful, those that were godly, they were watching for these signs and these kind of deeds. And I think we should do the same. Focus on the good words and works of the Holy Spirit, rather than looking into the world and just complaining. So much godlessness, so much evil. Satan is raging. Oh, let him be raging as long as the Lord left him time to rage. For us, the most important thing is what the Lord is doing. Beware of the enemy, but follow the Lord and rejoice in His goodness, in His word. As He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. Oh, Abraham's seed forever? Mary knew about those promises. That the Lord has promised to the father Abraham that in his seed all the nations shall be blessed. And I would say that it's not too much to say. It might be even an understatement that if any people, any individual was ever blessed since the time the people left the Garden of Eden until this day, all the blessings came through Him, the Savior. And so the seed of Abraham, which is Christ, as the apostle explained in the epistle, one of the epistles, actually more than one, a few. In Abraham's seed, all the nations shall be blessed. The whole world, whoever is blessed, will be blessed